T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Stephen and Joanne's second cup, because as we've all learned by now, one cup is never enough.
Never. We're still drinking after the show, and that's why our coffee, of course.
Coffee. We're drinking coffee. Yeah, that's our story. We're sticking to it. Yeah. Hey, a lot of stuff to talk about today on the second cup. We've got how an Apple Watch, you know, does amazing things. It can tell you the time. It can tell you your heartbeat.
Yeah.
It can tell you where your kids are, and it can save your life.
It's an amazing feature. Saved a guy's life. We're going to talk about that, tell you about that. Also, TJ Lang.
He's gone nuts.
Former Detroit Lion. Yeah, that's a good one. He'll talk about a new nut snack mix and the game of football. We also are talking to Tim Meadows. But
I think food really is top on my menu.
I want to start with food.
Hey, happy to have Jerry Kremen in the studio with us, the owner of Sullivan's Public House in Oxford. More importantly, the best Irish pub in the world outside of Ireland.
How about that distinction?
I know, it's pretty intense. You know, growing up in my parents, 13 years old, they bought their first pub in Ireland. So move on now. I'm 30, what am I, 37? And having the accolade of being the best in the world outside of Ireland is truly amazing. It means a ton to me.
How did this come to be? Who made this distinction?
Like 3 or 4 years ago, it's kind of a long story, so I'll try to cut it short. BuzzFeed took data for reviews from all over the internet. And we were named Best Irish Pub in Michigan by BuzzFeed. And then all subsequent years after, different publications took that data, refreshed it. So we were named number one Irish restaurant pub in Michigan by Travel and Leisure. Delish, Irish Central, which just names us Best Irish Pub in the World.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to guess it's probably because you kind of grew up in a pub in Ireland, right?
It really is. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's really about the hospitality and the people. Mm-hmm. So many people think it's the knickknacks on the wall. And don't get me wrong, we have knickknacks. You know, I have something hanging on my wall that my aunt took it out of her attic when she found out I opened the restaurant. So there is a lot of that stuff there, but it really is about the people and making people feel welcome and at home and stuff. So
you've obviously got to have great food, too, because you wouldn't get the distinction without that part. So give me an idea of some of the kind of classic Irish dishes that we can find.
Yeah, of course. Our shepherd's pie, obviously, it's got my mother's name on it. So when I touch tables, I talk to them, I was like, so how's that shepherd's pie? It is my mother's recipe. So I'm applying that pressure, but I joke. It's an amazing shepherd's pie recipe. And, you know, we have other dishes. We make our own sausage in-house. We make our own bangers. Everything is fresh. I know it's a cliche. It's one of those hot words saying farm to table. Yeah. Aluminium cooking and, you know, all that good stuff. But it really is. We prepare everything fresh daily. We bake all our own bread. We make all our own desserts, which actually I brought some Bailey's cheesecake for you guys to try out. I brought beer, too.
I was about to ask you. You're a pub, so I'm just assuming, and you better have some pretty good Irish beer.
Oh, we got some. Actually, and this is another good thing to bring up. We definitely, everything in the place is premium product, but we partnered with Griffin Claw Brewery, and they make our own beer for us.
Oh, nice. So
I was unable to bring that because with all the running around this morning, I was like, where's my growler? So I took being punctual over being late.
You can come back tomorrow. It's all good.
I'll be here every morning if you want.
So we can find you in Oxford.
In Oxford, downtown Oxford, just north of Burdick there, 23 North Washington, downtown Oxford.
Now you interrupted. He was talking about beer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so Do you want
more beer.
Actually, you know what? You should come see us. Our signature cocktail is a smoked fashion. It's a plain and old fashioned, but we actually take the turf that we heat our homes with in Ireland, and
a little peat
moss, and we burn it and we smoke the glass. So the whole building smells like an old Irish pub as well. So it's a sensory thing too. But we use Luxardo cherries. We use chocolate bitters. We actually infuse the Jameson with orange marmalade. So it's amazing. It's really good. So you guys should come see us.
We're going to come see you.
I'm definitely coming tomorrow morning.
All right.
Well, you better be back and just bring it all.
Oh, we appreciate it. Well, congratulations to you. What a distinction.
Thank you.
Yeah,
no, we're honored and we'd love to have you. I did bring gifts.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
We love gifts.
So these are our Emerald member cards.
Oh.
This is,
Thank you.
Pass it on over here.
And this is for Steven.
And what is this card?
This is for our Emerald membership. It's $75 a year. It includes things 10% off every time you come in. A $45 food and beverage credit for your birthday. We also do a raffle on St. Patrick's Day where we give away a trip for two to Ireland, which was the first year we did it. And it was actually Emerald members that won it. So it's 100% Hawaiian oak. The first year we did it, we used Michigan oak, but I wanted to step it up and go a little international. Yeah. That's not international because it's part of America. But anyway, you get where I'm going.
That's what I'm saying. It's the card. He's talking about the card is actually made out of wood. Yeah. And I was sniffing it to see if it got that peaty smoke taste, and it kind of does.
Yeah, it does. It does. It was definitely one of the, and the cards come, I actually burned the names on them myself.
Neat.
I do handwritten cards for everyone. So it's very, again, the hospitality personable.
It's a personal touch. Yeah, absolutely.
So. Well, we're certainly going to make sure we get there before St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure on St. Patrick's, so we may not be able to get in.
Yeah,
you know what?
Busy.
This year, being the best Irish pub in the world outside of Ireland, I may have to just take the whole parking lot and do a big tent this year.
I think that's a good idea.
So, yeah, I'm thinking about it. So,
right. Jerry, we'll see you soon.
I appreciate
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, that food is so good.
Oh, the Reuben sandwich.
I can't wait to
have
that.
I had half,
there.
And it's about the size of a normal Reuben sandwich, and that's half of theirs.
I had a quarter, and that was a good amount with cheese, too. That's a good question. I think Jason.
I like the beer.
Yeah, I know. Stephen, open that too.
Yeah, have one of those, a Guinness.
You know, nothing better than eating and watching TV at the same
time.
Yeah,
the greatest time of year. It's the new fall previews of all the new shows that we haven't seen before and the season premieres of the old shows we have, including Schooled.
Yeah, and ABC. Yeah, it's a Tim Meadows. Detroit's own Tim Meadows stars in Schooled.
He's the principal.
I'd like him as a principal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would too. He's hilarious.
He'd be funny, yeah. He spent so many years on Saturday Night Live doing so many different characters. Also important to note, he's from Detroit.
Yeah, right.
Which I think is pretty cool. And he decided to give us a call, talk to us in the morning about his brand new show.
Good to talk to you, Tim.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Stephen and Joanne here, WOMC.
In Detroit, welcome home.
In Detroit, welcome home.
Thank you very much. It's good to hear you.
Did you ever listen to Dick Purton on the air when you were here as a kid?
Yeah, I did. I used to listen to Dick Purton.
Well, we got his daughter.
Big mustache.
Yeah.
He's got his daughter, Joanne, right here next to me.
That's my dad.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. We are so excited. The season premiere of Schooled. Tell us about it. You're the principal, huh?
Yes, I played the principal on Schooled. A lot of people know me from Mean Girls. But
of
it's
course.
A different principal. He is a different name. He dresses differently. So different, his character.
Yep.
But Schooled is it's a spinoff of the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
Basically. And it focuses on William Penn High in Pennsylvania.
Now, you came from Detroit. Did you model your principal? And actually, the era that this takes place is maybe a little after you got out of high school, but did you kind of use your principles that you had in your experience?
I did not. This guy is based on a real person. So I didn't really have to draw from my experiences at Pershing High, even though I had a great principal there, too, actually.
We just watched the trailer. It looks like this is going to be really funny.
Yeah, I think the first episode we're doing it's sort of influenced by Dangerous Minds, the movie with Michelle Pfeiffer. And, I haven't seen it completed, though, but it was a pretty funny shoot. I know that much.
In the episode, I see that one of the teachers gives out her cell phone number, which, by the way, the brick phone was absolutely hilarious, to one of the students. Nowadays, man, that would be bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Would it be? Because even teachers have, email accounts, and students can send them emails if they want, so I don't know. I think part of the storyline then in this episode is the fact that it's before social media. And so it does, the kids spread her number around to everybody in the student body, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really funny script. It was really funny.
Hey, I got to ask you a couple other questions. First of all, Saturday Night Live won an Emmy the other night. The only broadcast show to win an Emmy. Everybody's streaming nowadays. I mean, a little point of pride that you were part of that show and that it's still really the only thing on broadcast television winning these awards?
I don't know. I mean, I don't. I'm not on the show anymore, so I don't care if they win awards.
That's kind of how Joanne and I feel about Channel 7, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell has got nothing to do with me that they won an Emmy? I don't care.
Oh, but you helped build that audience.
Well, I mean, I've been gone for a long time. Lorne Michaels gets all the credit for anything that show has done or will ever do. But I'm happy for them that they won. I think it's great. I'm a fan of the show. I got to work with Keenan this summer, so that was fun. And I really do. I'm a fan of the show. I've always have been and probably always will be.
You know, to Stephen's point about streaming and all that, it does seem like it's difficult. It can be difficult for shows really anywhere, no matter what platform, but on network TV in particular here, to kind of catch on and to become a success because people are watching so many different things. Do you think that's the case too?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different. I kind of think that the audience and maybe the networks, they put more value on things that get viewers. And I think with streaming, you get more time to find an audience, you know, because you're just there. Whereas with these, like a network show, you have to tune in to see it or catch it later on demand or, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, like, with a streaming show, it's always there, and it has time to, like, gather viewers, you know. Like a TV show, Fleabag, I had been hearing about it for months and months and months, and then finally I just watched it, you know, maybe a week or so ago, and I watched 2 seasons of it, you know what I'm saying? But it was always there. It's been sitting there just waiting for me to come and watch it.
Well, good. We look forward to watching it on ABC. Tim Meadows, thank you so much for your time.
All right. Pleasure to meet. Talk to you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks.
Have a
great
day.
Welcome back to Detroit.
Thank you very much.
An incredible story here. An Apple Watch credited with saving a father's life.
Okay.
How? The feature on it I had never heard of.
Okay.
It's a feature called Hard Fall.
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard of that before?
I remember that from the announcement. I didn't know what the practical use would be.
So this guy was mountain biking. His bike flipped at the bottom of this hill called Doomsday in Washington, right? He fell. He hit his head. He was unconscious.
Uh-huh.
He had the emergency feature on his Apple Watch, which, again, is called Hard Fall,
activated. The fall.
It sensed the fall. Now, you have to activate that feature on your phone, okay? I suggest
on
you all do that right now if you have it. Excuse me, on your watch. It will detect if you have taken a hard fall, just like it says.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what happens. The watch will tap the wearer on the wrist. Okay.
It sends something kind of taps. It's got that haptic tapping thing.
If the watch does not receive a response back within 1 minute, it automatically calls emergency services and notifies your emergency contacts. So this guy's by himself on a bike, takes a hard fall.
Right.
His watch taps him. He's unconscious. He doesn't respond. Calls 911. 911 gets to him before his family takes him to the hospital.
Because they know where he is because of the GPS locating.
You got it. Then his family, since they didn't get there in time, no problem. They just send a text to his family saying his location's changed. Now he's at the hospital.
This is amazing.
Okay, if you have an Apple Watch.
I have one right now.
Just do it. You
next
could trip
you
on your way
me,
in.
Next time you smack me, it's going to call police.
Because I may just ignore that you're down on the ground.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Either that or you're the one putting me on the ground. You know, that's how you are.
A lot nicer than that, Stephen.
You know who's a really nice guy? You wouldn't know this looking at him because he's big and intimidating looking.
He's a teddy bear.
He is a teddy bear.
TJ Lang.
He's taller than you.
Well,
which is, I mean, you're
it.
A big dude.
Yeah.
And when he was in, I honestly had the first thing that popped in my head is like, he looks like a bear that you build at Build a Bear. He's just so cuddly.
I just wanted to hug him, but I didn't think that would be appropriate. So
I think he'd mind, though, Joey.
You know, he's got a Super Bowl ring when he was with the Packers, and of course, spent a lot of his career also with the Lions. Which is cool because it's home for him.
Yes, it is. So we were so excited to have the opportunity to talk to him about the Lions, about the a new snack mix.
Yeah, with Detroit's own Cars Nuts.
Which is so good. And
so
they partnered with the Lions for a new snack mix. So just a pleasure to talk with TJ Lang.
TJ Lang joins us in the studio this morning. And instead of wearing football pads and helmets as an ex-Lion, he brings snacks.
I'm not
talking about the guy who plays for the Lions.
No, you're talking Cars One Pride Mix.
Yes.
Well, Cars partnering with the Lions here on this new amazing snack mix.
It's amazing. You're right.
It is good.
I'm
eating it right now.
I know you've been snacking on it a little bit.
I've been eating it over here.
It's fantastic. They're actually offering something this year called the One Pride Mix. They're actually going to sell at Ford Field for the home games. So whether you're tailgating, whether you're watching the game, I mean, like me, when I go to a game, I don't really want to eat a full meal. I just kind of want to have something to kind of snack on throughout.
Yeah.
It's the perfect product.
All right, what's in here?
Well, we've got, obviously, the peanuts. They've got the chocolate candy. I think my favorite is not the almonds, but the almonds are delicious, too, but the the butter toffee peanuts.
That's what I just had.
It's got, like, that kick of sweet to it. Yeah. I had some of these for the first time yesterday. They're absolutely phenomenal.
Cherry-flavored cranberries.
And Kars, I didn't know Kars was a Detroit company.
Yes.
Isn't that
amazing?
1933.
Yeah. An incredible snack mix. I'm a huge Kars fan.
Incredible.
So, yeah, really, really good. And to have this now in the bags with the blue and white stripes, it's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
And to see it at Ford Field. Now, you mentioned when you go to games. So you spent years playing in these games.
A lot of years, yeah.
What is it like for you now? I mean, I know the season is just getting getting underway, but how's the transition going to be for you, do you think?
You know, it's been pretty flawless so far. I think the biggest reason is I have three little kids at home that keep me company. You know, the past couple months, didn't really miss it a whole lot because training camp is always the hardest time of the year. I mean, you know, it's 16-hour days. You're hitting every single day. You start to wear out a little bit. But now I think once the games are starting, like, I think that'll bring back, you know, some you know, good and bad memories both. But I think if you talk to any former player, they always talk about you miss the relationships with the guys. You miss being in the locker room. You miss having breakfast and just kind of, you know, chatting back and forth and just those conversations that, you know, you can't have anymore. I mean, I can talk to the guys now, but they look at me as a media member. So it's a little bit difficult to have those conversations. But you know what? My body feels a lot better. Hmm. I played 10 years in the NFL. You know, I had a lot of back pain, a lot of hip pain. Luckily, the last couple months, you know, I've been feeling a lot better, and that's ultimately what's most important to me.
Hey, what's tougher to handle, a bunch of 350-pound linemen or those three kids of yours?
The three kids, no doubt. You get used to, after a while, you know, after a year of playing football, you get used to, you know, kind of the beating that you take, but you learn something new with the three kids every single day.
How old are they?
The oldest is 8, third grade. My daughter is 3.5, and then baby boy is 15 months. So I've got a little bit of everything going on right now.
Yeah,
very busy between youth sports and school now starting up and the baby kind of growing up and learning new things. I mean, I love being a parent, and, you know, I've got a great wife at home who thankfully does the majority of the work. She's just the rock, but you learn something new every day, and it's just, you wake up, when you're able to wake up every day and be excited about, you know, spending the day with the kids and just kind of seeing what they're going to learn, you know, what they're going to do today. I think it's a true blessing.
What's it like to watch a football game with you? I wonder, when you're watching the Lions play year, right? Because you're picking out things that the rest of us would be like, wait, what?
There's 27 left sweep.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, no,
it's a whole different perspective than we have.
It is difficult because... So last year I played about 8 games, ended up getting injured, and I missed the last 8. And most of those I watched from the couch. And it's exactly what you would think. I'm sitting there yelling, and it's almost to a point where I start to scare my kids because they look at me and how serious I take it. It's also part of being a fan too, right? I mean, you're watching, you don't really know when you're playing a game. It's different. Or when you're on the sideline, because you know the call, you know what to look for, you know what to expect. When you're watching as a fan, you have no idea what's going to happen. But it's kind of, I don't know, it's bittersweet, I guess. You know, you wish you were out there playing now, but at the same time, like we talked about earlier, it's like, I don't have to put my shoulders through that pain anymore. Like, wow, I actually feel pretty good. It's been a while since I woke up on a Monday in September where I actually felt pretty good.
Yeah.
It's been about 10 years, so that's going to be a nice transition.
Absolutely.
It's
got
to be cool for you to be here at home where you grew up and doing what you're doing now, because you went Brother Rice, right? And then was it EMU?
Eastern Michigan, yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, isn't it cool to, I mean, you went away for a few years and played for that hack team up there in Green Bay.
Team up there,
How many rings do you have from that thing?
We got one. We did get one. That was my second year. We never got back, but that was a special moment. But it's, you know, just, so... I grew up in Ferndale. You know, spent a lot of time in White Lake. My wife grew up in Walled Lake. So all of our family, of our family's kind of still around. And when I had a chance, you know, when I was a free agent leaving Green Bay, it was between Seattle and Detroit. And I'm like, you know what? I really don't want to get on a 4.5-hour flight with 3 kids to go out to travel back and forth home to Seattle and just get a chance to come back and see my family and see my friends. And, you know, I grew up with a very big, tight family, 3 brothers, 1 sister. I spent 8 years in Green Bay. You miss a lot of time, right? You miss a lot of holidays. You miss a lot of birthdays. You miss watching your brothers play high school football. You kind of miss, you know, all those moments that you can't replace. So the big factor in coming back home was, you know, not only playing for my hometown team, but getting to kind of start making up on all that missed time I had with the family.
Yeah. You know, there's so much talk about concussions in the NFL lately.
Yeah.
I know you love this game, right? Yeah. You got to love it to play as long as you have.
Do.
You have
yeah.
your own kids now.
Yeah.
Any hesitation if they said, I want to play football?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the concussions are obviously scary, and I've been through a couple of them. I went through actually a pretty bad one last year. I was always the type of guy, like, I knew the risk, right? I know there's a chance anytime you step on that field, there's a chance you could, you know, get really hurt. My son plays hockey now,
yeah.
and it's not as physical at this age as football yet, but
yeah.
there is still a lot of risk in, you know, falling and hitting the ice or falling into the boards and hitting the boards or, you know, taking a stick, whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, there's risk in everything you're going to do. I've always believed that, you know, you can't live through life and you can't go choose to have these hobbies and just be scared, you know, of the worst possible
outcome. Bubble wraps her son.
Stop it. I do.
There's a lot of fear. I guess the one thing I will say, though, and you've seen it the last couple of years, is especially the NFL has come so far in the technology of helmets and pads and rule changes. And it's all about trying to keep the guys safe, because you look at guys that played back in the 70s and 80s, and nowadays, you know, they're not in great shape.
Right.
We obviously won't know how this generation of players are going to be, you know, for another 20 years. But just talking to a lot of guys, I think the helmets have really made a big impact on kind of limiting the damage that you take when you do have those really hard hits. So I guess it's kind of one of those things where there's really no test. It's kind of the scary thing that you can go do right now to say, how is my head going to be in 20 years? You don't know. So you just kind of got to wait. And I wouldn't have changed anything, though. You know, I played 10 years. I was lucky enough to live that life, and, you know, I'm enjoying what I do now.
TJ Lang, former Lion, and thank you for bringing snacks.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Damon Harrison.
Hope you guys enjoy them.
Is this
a great product?
Is this the Lions' year? I'm just kidding. We say that every year. You know that. But what can we expect real quick before you go?
Yeah, we've been saying that for a long time. I think they're going to be a pleasant surprise. I really do. Good. I look at the roster. I think top to bottom, they're better than they were last year. Obviously, you know, Coach Patricia has an extra year around the guys and you know, installing the system. And I think talking to the guys down there and talking to people around Allen Park, they feel like this year so far through training camp and the preseason was a lot smoother than it was last year. I think everybody knows what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations are clearly defined. It's, you know, we're not here to win 8 games. We're not here to, you know, try to make the playoffs. We're here. We believe we have a championship football team. I think they're going to be a pleasant surprise.
Great. Right.
Well, if they're half as good as the One Pride mix.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoy them.
Oh, I love it.
Great
it.
Product.
Thank you so much,
thank
TJ,
you guys
for dropping by. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Joanne.
By the way, is it appropriate to point out that they brought in samples of the nuts?
Yeah.
But then they took them back with them.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Well,
I know.
They had
that too.
One that they let us try.
It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
there was
usually
a big bag, and they kind of like poured a little for each of us. I'm like, bubba, bubba.
And then they walked out. It turned out they were prototype bags.
Yeah, they didn't want it out in the public. I'm like, it ain't going in the public. It's going in my belly.
Stomach, exactly.
But it was tasty. I can assure you that.
And how about the fact that we are now the Lions undefeated 3 games in? Are you kidding me?
0-1.
And we should be 3-0. We all know that, but we won't look back. Right?
Yeah, well, actually, the experts thought we'd be like 1-2 right now. I think they expect we might win one of those games and lose the other two. So I'm going to settle for that.
Yeah. Well, it was great having TJ here. And hey, great having all of you join us for Stephen and Joanne's second cup.
Where did my first cup go?
I know. Well, hey, we'll be back next week. All right? See you then.